Well, you guys, I've been praying for you since I found out yesterday I was going to be here. I'm like, he said I was a pinch hitter. Well, actually, it's like the A team and the B team and all the subs are out. And they looked around in the stands and they said, there's an old guy that surely done something. And we'll get him down to play ball. So I'm the guy they pulled out of the stands, and hopefully I know what's going on, but I don't. But I know this, God's here today, and that God has brought you here through this weather for whatever God wants to give to you. As we go into this morning, I guess it's noon, and Stan told me I had an hour and a half, so sit back and relax. 20 minutes? Oh, well, we'll have to hurry. Well, let me begin here by reading in Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to start with verse 1 and jump around here a little, get you started. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For the whole law can be summed up in this one comment, love your neighbors yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another, so I say let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. And then he jumps down to the 22nd verse. And we all probably could recite this verse from heart. And it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, godliness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Jesus have nailed the passion and desire of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. What we want to talk about today is your gift and the gift of the Holy Spirit and our character. Now the gift of the Holy Spirit, as I just read, comes through the Holy Spirit. It is a gift. It comes into our lives. And when we accept Christ and Christ comes in to live within us, this fruit is evident in our life. Because it's Christ. It is Christ's character coming alive within us. Now, if Christ lives in us and is controlling our personalities, we will all leave glorious marks on the lives we touch. Not because of our character, but because of His being in us. We have to remember, those things are gifts. Those things we don't have to choose. We choose Christ, and we choose Him into our life, and when He comes in, the gift of the Spirit being in us, Christ alive within us, begins to bring forth this fruit. And let me say that again, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All those are a fruit. Not many fruits. And so you need to understand that you have to have all those to have the complete fruit of the Spirit. We don't have to do anything for that. It's a gift. It comes into our life. The fruit of the Spirit gives us a quality of God in us and in our lives. But now I want to go back a little bit. Character. That's Christ's character. What about your character? What about the life that you show to the world around you? There's a lot of messages on the fruit of the Spirit. There's a lot of things talking about letting that shine in your life and all those things. But what about our character? And I want you to turn in your Bible, if you have it, to Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to probably stay there most of the rest of the time. But we're going to talk about the Beatitudes this morning. We're going to talk about the characters. There's eight characters there that Christ wants us to implement within our lives as Christians. These are different than the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is a gift. The character that Christ brings out in the Beatitudes are those things that we have to choose and work at to put into our lives. It's not a gift. And so as we go down through here, I want you to look at these things and begin to think, what does Christ have in this for me? Well, the first one, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Christ there on the mount. Let me say this before I read that. Christ is just coming into His ministry. Christ has just begun to step out and announce who He is to the world. You've got to remember, He's a carpenter's son. You've got to remember that when people look at Him, they say, "You're Joseph's son. You're the carpenter's son. You're from Galilee. Why should we listen to you?" Now He comes into Jerusalem and he comes in and He begins to clarify His mission of being the Messiah. He's now going to begin to challenge the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the lawgivers. He's going to begin to challenge the priest. And He goes up to the mountain, He sits down, and He gives this message or sermon or whatever you want to think about here as He begins to bring this out into the characters. Now He's talking about here to the Jewish people who have always been under the law. Christ is about grace. There's going to be a change brought into their lives. There's going to be something different. And so He comes in and He brings this down here in Matthew 5:3. He begins and He says, "God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." Humility. Now that's the first thing we think of when we look at this passage. Humility, according to Webster, is an act of being humble. But Christ, what He's really teaching us here is the first thing that He's going to begin to bring out to the people in this change and to us today in our lives is there's a need not only to be humble, but to understand our position. He says there, those who are poor and realize their need. The thing that keeps us from serving Christ so often and doing what Christ wants us to do or having the character of God in us is pride. Pride is a natural gift of the human spirit. We all deal with it. And Christ is saying now there's got to be a change. There's got to be humbleness. There's got to be this understanding of your position. Are you lost? Or are you saved? Now, remember, He's talking to a lot of the Jews here, but He's also talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees who thought they were above the law. And He says, you've got to remember your position. You've got to understand where you're at. You cannot progress in grace until you understand your need for it. The thing that happens to us so often is that Satan comes into our lives and he begins to lift us up and we begin to pat ourselves on the back and say, I'm a pretty good guy. Amen. I do everything right. Amen. You all know what I'm talking about. And pride begins to seep into our lives and then we begin to lose focus of the kingdom of heaven. We have to realize that. The next thing He does is He says, I understand here in Matthew 5:4, there's a progression as you look down these character traits. He says, if you're humble and if you understand your need, the next thing you got to do is in Matthew 5:4, He says, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Have you ever stopped and thought what mourning is. Well, we all do it. We all understand when we lose a loved one, we mourn, right? But why would Christ come out? Because everybody mourns. Everybody that's ever lost anything has mourned. So why would He bring this out? Well, to understand, you got to understand what mourning is. It says to express grief or sorrow. If you understand your position before Christ, the next thing to do is you've got to mourn that you're in that position. You've got to give grief that, God, I'm sorry that I was there. God, I'm sorry that I missed doing what You want to do. God, I'm sorry that pride has entered into my life. I've got to mourn. I've got to learn to die to self. Paul brings that out more over and over and over again, that Paul himself says, I die daily. To be sorrowful for our position without Christ or with Christ. How many of you here are saved and satisfied? I don't see very many hands. And that's good. Because what happens when we get saved and satisfied? We stop depending on God. Churches are full of people that are saved and satisfied. They're the ones that always sit in a pew and don't do anything. And I'm no offense to those that raised their hand, because I don't think they understood what I said. We've got to never be satisfied with where we are. We've always mourning that I'm not... If you go back to Isaiah chapter 6 and look in there in the call of Isaiah, and you find out that Isaiah got a glimpse of the second coming of Jesus Christ, and the first thing he says, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. So we've got to understand that there's always room for improvement. I had a professor in college that said, I've never ever give anybody 100%. That was the first day of the class. And you know, every one of us said, I'm going to be first. He was smart because we killed ourselves that year trying to get that 100%. And at the end of the year he said, some of you got 99s, but you didn't get 100. And he said, the reason is there's always room for improvement. So we've got to learn to mourn. Mourn where I am and grieve myself because I'm not where Christ wants me to be yet, and I'm in the process of going there. Matthew 5:5 says, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the earth. Now we talked about humility. Now why would he come back and talk about it again? Well, what is humble? Humble is reflecting or expressing or offered in a spirit of submission. It's more than being in humility. Humility is an act of being humble or an act put on that I am showing humility. But humbleness is being in a spirit of submission. How many of us are willing to go to Africa as a missionary today? How many of us are ready to give up and sell everything you have and move out for God? That's what he's talking about. Are we ready? He says, when you put me first. That's the message that Christ come to this earth with. Put me first, and then I will take care of everything else. But the thing is, to put him first is we have to do what? Die to self. We have to humble is dying to self and coming into a place that God can really begin to work in our hearts and our lives. Matthew 5:6. Well, I'm going to have to escalate this, get down here, unless I get Stan's hour. So Matthew 5:6 says, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Justice. Hungering, thirsting after justice or righteousness, if you're in the old King James. Justice is the quality of being just or impartial or fair. Just dealings. Now he's getting personal. How many of us treat everybody equal? How many of us go with Christ and say, well, this person deserved what they got, or that person, you know, how many of us treat everybody equal, whether they're saved or whether they're not? Christ says, treat everyone like Christ would. Let's look. Christ says, I'd die for everyone. Are you willing to die for everyone? I don't know that I am. I hope someday God brings me to that point, because I'm in that progression. Matthew 5:7 says, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. This is a tremendous verse. It's something that just kind of jumps off the pages at you when you begin to understand it. Mercy is compassion or forbearance shown to an offender, mainly clemency. How many of us show mercy? He says you've got to show mercy to get mercy. We've got to be merciful. It's like the old adage of, if you want to have a friend, you've got to be a friend. If you want somebody to love you, you've got to love them first. If we want somebody to take care of me, then I've got to take care of somebody else first. You've got to understand here that he was talking to a people that was so proud that they said, I'm God's chosen people, and that's all I need. And if you're not one of us, you're an infidel. And a lot of the Jewish people are still that way today. They don't keep the law. They don't do what God would have them to do. But they're going to heaven. Why? Because they are Jewish. They've chosen His kingdom. They were born into it. Well, how many of us as Christians have fought this same battle in our life? We were born in the church. What brought us to a point to understand that we needed Christ? We needed more than just belonging to the church. We needed something more. Somebody had to be merciful. They had to reach out. And in their mercy, we found mercy. And we have to do the same for others. Matthew 5:8, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Pure means unmixed with any other matter, not tainted. Now, if I ask you right now, how many of us has a pure heart? Since you got up this morning, done your daily devotions, how many of us has a pure heart? That's one good thing that we have in grace. Christ comes in and He can, in a moment's notice, repurify our hearts. Christ would have us to have a pure heart daily as we walk. Matthew 5:9 says this, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. Peace. Something that we have to stand for and work for today. We know the world's in a terrible fix right now. We've got wars going on everywhere. We've got people that are unhappy. You can't walk down the streets in most of your major cities in the United States and be safe after dark. Why? There's no peace. Peace, according to Webster, is a state of tranquility or quiet. What's Christ saying? Sometimes it's better to keep silent or quiet. God blesses those who work for peace. God blesses us if we work to bring peace or tranquility into lives. Be a missionary. Step out and let others know the word. How many people do we walk by every day that are not at peace? How many do we pass on the streets or come into our businesses or into our churches or whatever? Something's going on in their life. Do we stop long enough in our life to say, hey, can I help you? Be sensitive to that part of the Spirit that we understand to bring this peace. These are character traits that God wants in our life, but we have to choose to bring them in. And this last one. You know, Matthew 5:10. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. How many of us are willing to be persecuted for Christ? Persecuted means to be harassed in a manner, to injure or to afflict. You know, how many of us are willing to be afflicted for Christ? How many of us step out in a restaurant and pray? How many of us are writing our congressman about what's going on in our government? How many of us are willing to put our name out there as I'm a Christian? No matter where I am or who I'm with, no matter what's going on around me. And then he finishes this segment with, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you, lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Here we are in Matthew, a long way from the book of James, and we find Christ saying, be happy to be persecuted. James says, count it all joy when you fall into divers trials and testings. Starts with it, pretty well ends with it. What's he saying about it? Be very glad, he says, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. People have been persecuted for Christ's sake since he came. These character traits it brings into our lives, if we choose to put them in our life, if we choose to begin to work on these things in our life and allow these eight characters to begin to come, it not only enhances our life, it gives us a happy life. Christ is the giver of happiness and peace. The fruit cannot completely come in our life until these character traits begin to exemplify themselves in our life. I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'm going to pray first, and then I'll turn it over to you. Now, there's some study questions there that you might want to discuss about these things. Let's pray. Father God, just touch these men's heart and thank them for coming and listening this morning, and God, that you would just be with them and bless them and watch over them and care for them. And Lord, help them to discuss these things in their life and turn it to you. Now, Father, we pray in thy holy name. Amen.